Hey everybody, before you listen to today's podcast, as we're getting into dog days of summer here in August, A, I hope everybody is doing well. I know this has been quite the year. And two, make sure, like right now, like stop and make sure, write this down. 212-931-5731. So much of getting the first mover advantage in my world, or to just get a random text that makes you feel better. I've been blown away by the random text to make you feel better, what that's meant to tens of thousands of you and how that's impacted your day. So if you want a smile or if you want an advantage, check me out on my text platform, 212-931-5731. Text it and follow the directions that I reply to you with. And I appreciate for all of you that have been on the community platform with me. And here is your podcast.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is a keynote that Gary did back in 2012. He makes a bunch of predictions about the future of social media that ended up coming true to this day. Enjoy.
Thank you guys. Really excited to be here. Have a lot of different thoughts. I was thinking about this talk, recognizing who was in the room. You know, when you've been kind of living and breathing social from the beginning, it seems like 1,000 years ago, 2006, when I was kind of talking about the virtues of, you know, Twitter or Facebook or things of that nature. And 2012, such a different world. You know, these things are more accepted and things of that nature. But what I've been noticing, and I've been speaking quite a bit over the last 4 or 5 years, is that the Q&A part of this stuff is so valuable because we can all talk philosophically, but at the end of the day, really, honestly, all of you have very specific things and needs around your businesses or what you're trying to achieve. And so I really, really appreciate the opportunity. A lot of time, I was telling Kim and team in the background, I was telling them how I do so many conferences and I try to tell them up front, like, let me do a lot of Q&A. They'll really get a lot of value out of that. And they're always like, no, the presentation, you're so entertaining. And I'm like, cool. And then we do 10 minutes of Q&A or 5 minutes, and then it goes really well and everybody likes that part the most. And then, you know, you have to leave and everybody cries about it and the organization is like, you were right. So I do want to do a lot of Q&A, but I don't want to just shoot off with Q&A, though I did hear that a lot of you have some form of context for me, which I appreciate. And is, who are the three people who did not know who I was? Can you raise your hand? Gotcha. We'll hug it out a little bit later. So let's focus on this. Let me start with this, actually. Let me go in a different direction. Let me give you, like, really what's in my head, meaning the reason I love social media and the reason I got very all in on it very early on is very honestly because I believe it sells stuff. So to really put into context, I talk about a lot of very warm and fuzzy things. Most of my talk now is going to seem like it's coming very much from the heart and it's very zen and delicious and wonderful. And the only reason it does that is I actually believe that that's what it takes to sell stuff going forward in our world. No other reason. I want you to understand that the first thing that I ever did as a business person, I like to talk about, and a lot of you know my lemonade story. I had 7 lemonade stands, you know, riding around, all that. But some of you might know, but the real thing I first did was I literally, when I was 4 or 5 years old, when I first moved to Edison, New Jersey, for that first summer, we were there for a month before school started, all I did every morning was go outside, run around the neighborhood, pull flowers out of people's yards, and then ring their doorbell and sell it back to them. So I think it's very important for you to understand that that's who I am. My context is I want to sell stuff. All I've ever been obsessed with is selling stuff. All I care about is selling stuff when it comes to business. And that's what this all is for me. Social media to me is a vehicle for business, because let's understand how I believe most of you should be talking about. Because how many of you have plenty of conversations, or how many of you, by show of hands, have had many conversations trying to justify the ROI or why social? Please raise your hand. I figured. So let's start with this. I'm going to give you a piece of ammo. I'm going to give you a story. I think that I can articulate as well as anybody of why social. And here it goes. This is why social media is so important. Fundamentally, no matter who you're talking to, no matter what business you are, whoever you are in this room, whether you're selling wine like I did, whether you're selling yourself, whether you're selling books, whether you're selling Mountain Dew, whether you're selling chairs, shirts, pens, no matter what you sell in the world, the only thing you really care about from the beginning of mankind until right now, the only thing you ever cared about from business was telling the best possible story about your product. But there's a second part to it. Telling that story in the most relevant place for the people that you're trying to reach. Back in the day, and I'm not talking about a couple years ago, I'm talking about cavemen, they drew crap on the wall so you would see it, and that would tell a story. And somebody was selling rocks, I promise you. Because that's the DNA of how we're wired, right? And that dude was drawing pieces of rocks and saying, this is good stuff and you should buy them from me. So all anybody in this room, all 150 of you, have something to sell, and you're trying to tell that story, and you're trying to tell it in a place where you can reach as many people efficiently, depending on how much money you have. What I loved about social was it was the first zero place I've ever seen. Social was the first zero cost platform that I had ever seen. See, there, first of all, let me go with a, you know, and I know what you named your company, so please don't get upset here. I actually don't believe there's anything like social media. I actually don't believe there's such a thing. I actually think social media is the word that we're currently using to describe the current state of the internet. We called this thing Web 2.0 just 5 minutes ago. This thing that we're talking about was called Web 2.0 in 2006. We changed the name of it. And so what we're really talking about, when you talk to anybody about what's the ROI or is social worth it, please make them understand immediately that what they're talking about, when somebody says to you, I don't believe in social media, I don't think it's good for business, I don't think it's an efficient way, they're betting against the internet. And anybody betting against the internet in 2012, 13, lost. So, we're talking about the current state of the internet. The sites like Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and on and on and on, these sites did something very special. They took the platform that is the single biggest culture shift of our time and they connected consumers to each other at scale. We are living through, my friends, the biggest culture shift of our time. I'm telling you right now, including myself, my name is Gary Vee, blah, 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 not one person in this hotel, in or outside this room, is really understanding how big of a culture shift this is. The internet is the biggest culture shift in mankind. This is the singular biggest thing that has happened probably since the printing press, and it really matters. Let's do a little bit of an exercise. How many people here, by show of hands, and don't half-ass me, I don't want this, I know you're tired, but I want this. How many people in this room have reconnected with somebody because of Facebook that they have not talked to? Put your hands down. Okay. Well, let me tell you something, you got a group here. This is the most enthusiasm I've ever seen. Before and all of you did it, so get a little bit, I'm about to get rid of it. I may actually have to curse Kim, I'm sorry. How many people in this room have reconnected with somebody on Facebook that they had not spoken to in over 10 years? Raise your hand. Oh, weird, everybody. How about 20? 80% of the people in this room, 90% of the people in this room have reconnected with people that they have not spoken to in over 20 years. Now let me play you something that really matters in selling stuff. The fact that we have more relationships today than our parents could have ever because of the technologies in place, your parents, if they were more extroverted than you and more social than you, do not have more relationships than you do. Not because of anything else, but because of technology. We are reconnected to so many more people. Dunbar's number, if you ever look that up, which we can have 140 relationships, that's been blown out because now we can have relationships at scale. I can talk to people that I don't even know on platforms and have context to them before I actually meet them because we've been engaging before I got here. So we can have more relationships at scale, right? Now, we have all accepted that there has been major shifts in our world based on this technology boom. Everybody in this room agrees that the music industry has been disrupted by technology. You know, 15 years ago we bought CDs, we bought a whole album, now we buy one song at a time, we pay $1.29, we've gone actually back, right? The history tells you the future. It's how we used to buy music. I think a lot of people here can agree the publishing industry has been disrupted. You know, my brother AJ and I are flying down here and I'm heavily debating, do I take this substantial offer from HarperCollins to write another book or do I go direct to consumer because I can go iPad or Kindle direct to consumer and probably cover the masses. How many people here now read all of their books on Kindle or iPad? Raise your hand. Raise them. So we're talking about 30-40% right now. I mean, only 2 years ago it was about 5-7 and I promise you, when we all get together in 36 months, it'll be the majority of you, 70-80%. We've agreed that the music industry has been disrupted. We've agreed that retail has been disrupted. How many people here have bought something from Amazon? Please raise your hand. Okay? So we agree these major shifts are happening. By the way, I asked that question 11 years ago at a New Jersey Chamber of Commerce event, and nobody raised their hand. Because I was talking about taking wine to the internet. Nobody raised their hand. 11 years is not a long time. It took us all the time of e-commerce to get 11% of commerce on e-commerce. Last year we jumped from 11 to 14. You know how big of a jump that is? So we all agree that there's all these big changes, right? But the one thing we don't talk about enough at all, I see so few people talking about this, is what technology has done has changed and disrupted at scale the way we communicate with each other. Let me explain. There are some grown-ass men in this room who texted in the last 24 hours, OMG and LOL. Right, dude? It kills you, right? Breaks my heart too, but we do it, right? XOXO until we can't do it anymore, right? The way that we communicate is changing. Every person in this room in the last week has seen something in their Facebook stream on their phone from a friend that has said something that looks like this. Pinkberry watermelon yogurt is delicious. Or I love Snickers in the summer. Or things that we would have never picked up the phone and called our friends about 10 years ago. We can all agree on that, right? The way we communicate has changed. And what that has done is brought us back to small town rules. We are acting as human beings right now far more like we did in the 20s, 30s, and 40s than we did in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s because we're reconnected. And what's happening, my friends, is we now have context around each other at scale. The way you did in a small town back in the day. Back in the day, you knew everything about everybody in your town because you lived in a small town, everybody knew everything, you did everything together, everybody kept their doors open, literally, everybody hung out their laundry, literally, and you knew everything. And Butcher Bob treated you poorly, then you told everybody at the PTA meeting, and his business was in jeopardy. Uh-huh. The way small businesses in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s went out of business was by not taking care of the end customer, and then corroding within the community, and then people not supporting him or her for a month or two, and then them going out of business. That is the way it went down. Then we started going to the suburbs and going to different places, and we spread out, and that's why the big box store era happened. As we started spreading out, big stores were able to capitalize on the thing that we cared about then, which was it cost money to go and drive there, so the price mattered. And we became price-driven, not service and relationship-driven. We didn't have the relationship anymore. The people changed, they were owned by corporations, we didn't see the same faces, people didn't work in the same business for 30, 40 years. We are now living in a place where we can have relationships at scale on the web, and that is where we're living. That ship has sailed. This is not a fad or a moment. This is it. We are human beings and we live and strive on having relationships with each other. And if we are given tools to have more of them and stay in touch with more people and do more things, it is what we're going to do, and that will be the way it's going to be forever. And we're going to do it through different ways in the future. Google Glasses and telemachines and become robots, and it's going to get very freaking weird. But for now, the current state of it is we've got phones. I mean, do you remember this? Looking at the crowd, I think some of you didn't remember this. Remember 15 years ago, some of you, you don't want to admit it right now, some of you flat out said, I'm not getting a cell phone. Yeah. Why would I want anybody to call me anytime they like? If I need to get a hold of them, I will. How many of you said that at some point in your lives? Raise your hand. Just curious. Just curious, of the 30 of you, how many of you do not have a cell phone? And that's the game. What I'm obsessed with is I know and spend my life trying to feel what I think you're gonna do that you think you're not gonna do. In 1996, I thought you were gonna buy stuff on the internet. That's why I went all in on e-commerce and stopped opening up liquor stores. In 1998, I started emailing my wine offers because I thought you would like that more than getting faxes and catalogs, and it would be quicker, more efficient, I could sell more stuff faster, and speed kills in business. In 2001, I thought you'd be going to Google more often, so when they had AdWords and they only cost 5 cents, I spent lots of money on it. And my dad yelled at me and said, why are you spending $500 on Google? Let's keep buying $30,000 full-page ads in the New York Times. And I said, we're going to be spending $30,000 a day on Google in 24 months. Just give me time. In 2003 and 4, I saw blogging, and I saw that blogging was a way to communicate, and I did not do it. Because if you can't do something, you shouldn't. And I think that's a big problem. I think that's something all of you should think about. America has built a trillion-dollar system around telling all of us to be better at the things we're naturally not good at. Lose weight, do this, be smarter. The number one secret, in my opinion, about this whole game, life, by the way, is what I'm talking about, is figuring out what you're naturally good at and over-indexing on that. I promise you that LeBron James didn't give a shit in science class. But that mother played every single day. And guess what? He did well. And I promise you, as a DNF student, I figured out at 12 and 11 what I was good at, and I over-indexed it. I started businesses at 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14, and that's why at 36, I act 66 because I've been through it. And by the way, being truthfully to yourself hurts. It hurts my feelings that I don't think I can build Facebook or Twitter like Zucks and Ev did. It hurts. But if you're honest with yourself and you really think about what you're best at, I promise you you'll build a bigger business. Amen. I promise you. The one thing that I have that I think takes me to the moon is I can taste it. I can taste it. I can just smell when something's happening, right? I can look at something once or twice and I'm like, yep. So in 2003 and 4, I knew blogging was going to kill, but I didn't do it because I knew I couldn't execute and I wouldn't get the results for the time and effort that it took. But then in 2005, something came along. It's called YouTube. And a couple weeks after it came out, I said, this thing is big. Because I once had asked my developer, how much would it cost me if I made videos about wine and we hosted it on winelibrary.com? He's like, well, if a lot of people watch, it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars per episode. That didn't feel like a good ROI. But then when YouTube came out, he came right to me, Eric Kastner, a big person in my life, at Kastner, if you want to give him love with a K, he said, this can host our stuff for free. They're paying. I'm like, they're paying for it? I'm like, this company's going to go out of business. See, sometimes I'm wrong. But, but what I knew was, this was it for me. And in February 2006, right after the holidays of 05, I started Wine Library TV, and I'm standing here in front of you. That is a big catalyst to my career. I took something I was good at, I did it faster than everybody. You know why I have so many Twitter followers? Yeah, I'm good, and I know what I'm doing. But in 06 and 07 when it came out, and I went on it and spent 16 hours a day on it, you could capture people back then, because everything in life is supply and demand, my friends. Everything in life is supply and demand. And when there's only 100,000 people on Twitter, we just all followed each other. And then because I was maybe a little more entertaining and a little bit better, I kept rolling as it kept growing. Looking at things like Pinterest or Rebel Mouse or Medium or all these new other platforms, if you don't jump and land grab, it's like, you know, the first ladies and dudes that found the coastline at Turks and Caicos, and they're like, we think this is going to be big, and bought up that coastline, they won. And so that's what we're having. Please understand, this whole thought of like, let me wait till somebody else proves it, or let me wait till it's big, or this, that, the other thing, the thought of not jumping on these new platforms and playing with it so you can taste it for yourselves, the thought of not investing 3 or 4 days out of your year to spend a lot of time on a new platform and realize how valuable these emerging tech platforms are, you may stumble into the next Twitter or Facebook or Tumblr. So that's another ethos of me. I always jump and I'll play. You don't remember Plurk, but I do. Plurk came out and I played. And guess what? It was worthless. It didn't work out. But if you know what the funny part is? I only need one. I mean, looking around the demo in this room, if somebody here was the queen of Pinterest, your life would be good. And if you would have jumped on it 3 years ago and really put all in and spent your time and didn't worry about the ROI that day, but thought about business in a 6, 12, 24-month period, you've got to be practical. I'm not selling you the dream or the secret or any of that stuff. You've got to be practical. You've got to make dollars. You've got to live your life. But way too few people are putting in the time and effort to build long-lasting businesses. Everybody's looking for shortcuts. Let me promise you something. Tech seems fast, and it feels like it's capable for shortcuts, but it's not. And so all I've ever done was one very basic move. Use the lucky DNA that I got with intuition to figure out places where I could tell my story, whether that was e-commerce, whether that was Google AdWords, whether that was my email service, whether it then later became Twitter or Facebook or Tumblr, and I just told them the best way I could, and here's the key, for that platform. The biggest problem I see with a lot of you here, and I've seen a lot of people tweet about this event, so I kind of looked at some accounts and this and that nature. You're applying the same content across all platforms in a world where Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram are very different. People are putting 4-minute videos on Facebook. Nobody's going to watch that. Got it? People are putting out, you know, pictures that are not high quality on Pinterest. You already lost. People are not thinking about which filter they're using on Instagram and trying to figure out which one works. The world we're living in today and going forward and forever is going to be figuring out the platforms where you can tell your story best and figuring out how to tell that story uniquely for that platform. How many people here are on Tumblr? Raise your hand. If you're on Tumblr and you're putting out content, and oh, by the way, this is sad because I'm giving myself this piece of advice because I'm not doing it right either. So I'm like yelling at myself right now. If you were on Tumblr and 60 to 70% of your content isn't an animated GIF, you're messing up. How many people here are on Tumblr and 90% of their content is animated GIFs? And if you raise your hand, I'm going to double check. And if you're lying, I'm going to call you out to my million followers. So. Right. But you know what's so funny? You know what's so funny? I'm actually going to use this. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, which is my sister and wife's name, so we're already friendly. Elizabeth, listen, super interesting to me. How many people saw my Inc. 500 keynote? Raise your hand. So only about 12 of you, that hurts, but that's fine. In my Inc. 500 keynote, I talk about when you play Twitter, you've got to stop acting like a 19-year-old dude and trying to close on the first move, right? Everybody on Twitter is just blasted. Blast, come to my conference, buy my wine, blasting. To me, it's context. It's what I was just talking about with Small Town Rules. Build up equity. The title of my next book, breaking news, except for some of you really are paying attention because I flirted it here and there, is jab, 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 right hook. Right? That's the title of my next book. That's what I believe should be happening in social. You need to create as much context at scale, and then when you go for your ask, why did so many of you come to here? Either my equity, your equity, right? There was context. It wasn't you landed on some banner ad, maybe one or two of you, but you had context to why you should be here. And that's how things sell. And so the funny thing to me is that we're living in this very substantial culture shift, and the way we're playing it is wrong. If you're not spending 70 to 80% of your content on Tumblr and it being an animated GIF, you're not doing the right kind of content for the platform. And so I think about this stuff all the time. This is all I care about. The only thing in the world I care about is can you create enough context for people? If you're not on twitter.com/search every single day and spending a minimum, no matter what you do, I don't care, an hour a day, 2 hours a day on twitter.com/search and searching every person that mentioned you or the things you do for a living, social media, this and that, wine, dresses, I don't care what you sell. If you're not on twitter.com/search and you're in this room and you do what you're doing for a living and the context of this event and you're not spending an hour, minimum an hour, just like working out will keep you alive, if you want to be successful, twitter.com/search, watching people talking and then just engage with them. Don't tell them about your conference. Don't tell them about the service you're selling. Just build a damn relationship. I promise you, you will crush Twitter 80 times more than you ever did before. But the problem is, and I looked, because I watched a lot of you talk, replying to Kim, and look, I'm telling you, this hurts. Most of you just aren't. Because what happens is when you're a marketer, you're just defaulting to about you. And the whole game right now is about them. It just is. And that's where the opportunity lies. Create context so that when you go for your right hook, you land. You know what happens when you throw 45 straight right hooks in boxing? You miss them all. Because the person knows it's coming. And the way a lot of you are marketing on social right now is just that. So, all we really care about, and what I'd love to answer questions about, and I'd love you to get detailed into your whole thing, is can we land our punches? You've got something to sell. You know, the bottom line is we could all do better. I would sell twice as many books if I jabbed better. Kim would have 200 more people. Five, well, I know you capped it. But like, whatever it was, no matter what the number was, you could have more if you jabbed better. If you set it up, you win more. And we're living in a world, and you all know this, where the bullshit radar of the consumer has never been better. You guys are cynical. You know it because you're smart. Especially as marketers, things like that, you really look for it. We've been marketed to more than ever before. Going back to one last point, and I'll open it up. Because we're connected to more people than ever before, because of Facebook and Twitter. And by the way, if they go away, there'll be something to replace it, and you'll be there, and all your friends and acquaintances will be there too. Because we're consuming more from each other, and the way we talk to each other has changed, we're telling each other more small things. Back in the day, it was supply and demand. If you called somebody, you had that one conversation with them. And even with your best girlfriend or guy friend, you know, an hour, I know some people can go a little while, but half an hour, right? And you only get so much in. In this world, it feels so on all the time, so you're sharing less important things. You used to talk about family and the big things. You didn't get down to that you like Snickers, or that, did you see that TV show? Yes, that was something, but you do it more often now. Because of that, because we live in a stream economy, in a world where we're consuming our content now in very quick moments, looking at our streams, we now are getting contexted about products and services from people we actually have relationships with. Every person in this room spends money on things because of a couple of different variables. Number one, convenience. We're lazy. If you can get there in 3 minutes and buy your milk, you don't care that you can save 10 bucks and go somewhere else. You just want it fast. The world is so fast now. We don't have time, kids, family, bills. Convenience is king. Don't let anybody trick you. We're lazy as crap. But the thing that we buy even more on, or equal, or in the same realm, that really matters, that we don't give enough thought to, is context. When your aunt tells you this movie's awesome, you go. When your best friend that knows a lot about wine tells you this Pinot Grigio is delicious, you buy. And when your buddy says that that service or conference or speaker or book sucked, you don't buy. And so what we're seeing, my friends, is context at scale. You now know so much more about your friends and acquaintances than you ever did before because of the way the world is mapped. It's similar to back in the day. And the game for you to figure out, I don't care what you do. I really could care less. I mean, I care because I like you, but you know what I mean. Theoretically, in business, I don't mind what you sell. A, it's got to be good. No matter how great at storytelling you are and telling it right and reaching the most people, if your product sucks crap, you lost. So A, it's got to be good. But good is a funny thing, isn't it? There's good enough for 100 customers. There's good enough for 1,000. There's good enough if you're Apple, right? So we can. There's customers. No doubt is there customers for what you do. Storytelling in the proper places that have the most efficient return on your investment, that's the game. What's happening is there's a lot of smart people in here who do SEM and SEO and all these other things. There's another phenomenon that people are not talking about. As we become more cynical, a lot of the platforms that we all used to sell stuff for the last 10, 5, 7, 15, 20 years, they're diluting in quality. How many people here, DVR or TiVo, the far majority of the shows that they watch on TV that are not live, please raise your hand. Oh, weird, almost everybody. Just curious, of almost everybody in this room, how many of you in 2012 of those shows have fast-forwarded every single commercial? Raise your hand. Oh, weird, all of you. Meanwhile, all my clients are spending tens of millions of dollars producing them and trying to shove them down your throat, and you're not even seeing it. Banner ads. Who here is clicking banner ads left and right because they just can't wait to see what the offer is behind that banner ad? That's what I thought. But if you look back at 1994, 5, 6, the click-through ratio on banner ads were quite high. Now banner ads are 0.06 and you're a hero. How are you a hero? I mean, listen, baseball's one thing. You got 300, you go to Hall of Fame. 0.06 and you're in a Hall of Fame now for banner ads. I mean, we're in a place where that doesn't work. How about email? Remember how much you loved email 15 years ago? Let me take you back to a place. Let me take you back to a place where you loved email so much. Do you remember some of you might have kids go to college at that time? You couldn't believe you could keep in touch with them. It didn't cost you anything. I remember when I first saw email, like, fuck, I need to send as many emails as possible because they're going to charge for this shit one day. I mean, we loved it. We loved email so much that they made movies about email. You got mail. We loved it. You got mail. You were pumped. Remember that? Just curious, who here loves email now? Because here's what I know, more than anything in the world, because I'm a proud one myself, marketers ruin everything. That's what we do. If you were signed up or had ever been signed up for Guild Group Living Social or Guild Group, please raise your hand. Weird, almost everybody. Just curious, how do you feel about those services today? You delete them on impact. You don't give a crap if they're offering you $1 million home for 10 bucks. You're like, spam shit. Right? You know why? Because they ruined it. They pounded you with so much stuff that you didn't need, your brain shut it off. And watching a lot of people in this room, sorry, but I did it. The stuff that you're putting out on social is going to be shut out. And you're not even creating context first to have permission to sell it. My book became a New York Times bestseller day one because I guilted everybody into buying it. Let me say it again. I competed against tons of people, and my book over-indexed it, stunned the publishing world. No TV, I wasn't on shows, nothing happened, I didn't have an email list to blast, nothing. I went to my social channels and I sent it out. I was running a $60 million business that was mine, and I stopped and just tweeted with people. I did. And what I always don't say, and now I'm trying to talk more about, I also produced a show that had a lot of quality content behind it that also supported that. I would even say the Thank You Economy, my last book, is a book that could have been called Jab, 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 Jab. That's why my next book is going to be Jab, 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 Right Hook. You know, I got so zen, I might have forgot about the clothes and the deal. But that naturally, shockingly happens when you don't go for it. Lady, there's a lot of ladies in the room. You know the guy that won you over. The guy that rolls up on you at the bar or the club or wherever and hits on you 47 straight times and this and that, he's not going to win. And so that's what's happening in business. Way too many of you know how you hate being hit on in real life, but you're doing the same thing in social. You're just pounding your end consumer. And you think it's going to break through in this world where we're getting pounded with messaging. You think your offer or your deal or your opportunity is going to break through in a world where Eric Schmidt, the chairman of Google, last year said the amount of content that we're producing now in every 48 hours is equal to the amount of content that we produced from the beginning of mankind until 2003. Let me say that again. I want you to hold the hands of the person next to you because I want to go kumbaya in this moment. The amount of content that we produced from the beginning until 2003. Remember 2003? That was like 6 seconds ago. The amount of content we created of all time, mankind, the whole time, is now being replicated in volume every 48 hours. So what? You think your tweet's going to break through and find everybody? It's not going to happen. This isn't 1974 where you could buy an ad, a TV ad, on Happy Days and 40% of America was watching it and there was nowhere to go and you watched the commercial, right? No second screen. How many of you watch TV without at least one computer-like or phone device in front of you while you're watching? Please raise your hand. Hold on, either people are lazy or this is the most over-indexing with people who just watch TV without a phone or computer. One more time, just so I know. How many people watch TV with at least either a phone, computer, or iPad in front of them while they're watching? Please raise your hand.
Okay?
You have it. Okay, there we go. How many people watch TV with at least two devices, a phone and a laptop or iPad while they're watching? Almost everybody. How many people here watch TV with a phone, an iPad, and a laptop? Three devices, raise your hand. That's the biggest, by the way, the 28 of you are sick. But I love it. How many people here don't watch TV? Football always counts, darling. It's true. Outside of live sports, how many people here do not watch TV? Raise your hand. I mean, these are bigger and growing numbers. And all I care about is where are you going to tell your story? Back in the day, 15 years ago, with my wine shop, I was buying local commercials because this many hands would have never, that would be, nobody fathomed. Every single person in this room watched TV every day. It was just the way it was. You had a couple of book readers. They were weird, right? So, your eyeballs and ears are going to different places, and communication's changing. Remember that conversation you had with your son or daughter, granddaughter, niece or nephew? This one, this real good one that from 3 years ago. Hey, little Ricky, I don't care how you talk to your friends, this text thing, but when your mother or father call, you pick up the damn phone. Remember that? Just curious, how's that going for you? All of you are texting with them, not because little Ricky or Susie or Sally were so smart. Technology was on their side. We are living through a culture shift. Some poor guy bought 1,000 horses the day before the car came out. He lost. Blockbuster could have bought Netflix for $30 million. They didn't think it was the right place where the world was going. They lost. And this happens over and over again. I promise you, wait till you see what's gonna happen to Walmart over the next decade. They're scrambling now. They're trying to figure it out. Amazon's gonna crush their faces. They're about to open up a warehouse everywhere and ship to you in 6 hours, and you're not gonna think, why would you go to Walmart or Target? I can have it cheaper, faster, and guess what? Convenience. I can have it delivered to me, and I'll have it tomorrow, worst case. So technology's gonna keep changing, and it always will. One day, every person in this room, I would say in the next 48 months, will pay for the far majority of their things, this. Not your credit card, this. And you're gonna walk into the store, and you're gonna buy something, and you're gonna swipe it. You know the world I live in? I live in a world where all of this is so connected that I thought about building an app called Better Life, where I make an app where all of you just put in the things that you'd like to do in your life to make your life better. You actually tell the app, and then through it being such a gosh darn robot and so powerful, it helps you. Let me explain. One of the things I would say is, I want to buy my wife, Lizzie, more things randomly, not just on her birthday or Valentine's Day. I want to just buy her a gift because I love her so much randomly. And you know what it would do? Thank you so much. And you know what it would do? It would text me on a random day with a link to flowers.com, and I would just click it, and it would be on its way. I would tell it that I want to learn more about tea, and that's really important to me. And when I landed here today in Tampa, it would text me and say, the number one rated tea shop on Yelp in America is 4 blocks away from your hotel. Looking at your Google Calendar, you have enough time to go there before your flight, and so you should. That's what it would do. I would tell my app that I want to lose 15 pounds. And when I'm running to the airport now on my way to Miami for the Jets game, when I run there and I'm hungry because I didn't eat here, and I go to Burger King and order 2 Whoppers and fries, when I go to pay for it, it would decline and it would text me. Your refrigerator will reorder everything that's in it for you in the next 5, 7, 12 years. It just will. It will know that you like Diet Pepsi, and it would see there's one left, and it's gonna reorder it. And who's that bad for? That's really bad for retailers, because when it gets to scale, Pepsi's gonna deliver it to you by themselves and keep all that profit. Anybody in the middle has to bring value in business. If you don't, you lose. I implore you to think about your end consumer, because if you're not bringing value to them, and you're not doing it in the proper etiquette in the world that we live in today, and you're not creating context at scale when you're publishing your stuff on all these, you're all on social media, you like it? You like Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr? Nobody's seeing your stuff if they don't care about you. There's too much of it being thrown at them. Start creating context and start allowing your content to have a chance to be seen. That, my friends, is the game. Start caring about the end consumer instead of your margins, and your business might change. Start thinking about retention. All of you are trying to find more customers. How about the ones that you have? When's the last time you called them and just said thank you? I know what the answer is. Not often enough. So stop looking for more or pushing out more and start maximizing. Stop hunting and start farming. Thank you. Myself, usually I get going and then we leave no time, so I'm pretty pumped right now. So let's do some Q&A. Here's something I want to say right off top. I'm convinced, given who you are in this room, that a lot of people are going to be scared to ask 101 questions, but we all have holes in our game. This is the opportunity. I promise you, I will give you my all, and I have a lot of context and do it at scale. My brother AJ and I have a social media agency that's close to 200 employees now, and we manage big stuff, big clients. I come from small business, so that's been my whole life. I have context across the board, so I'm thrilled to be here. So let me answer it for you. So let's do it. Hey, man.
Hey, Gary. Good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
Nice to come back.
So only a couple of like a week, two weeks, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
good to see you, bro.
Using a lot of automation these days to try to get the message out. So
who is? Just,
I am. Since the last time you and I talked,
yep.
I've been listening on Twitter. Probably about 45 minutes to an hour a day.
Okay.
It's a completely new thing.
And?
Well, I'm looking for content to share. And
is that your strategy?
Yeah, part of it.
Okay.
Certainly. That's what your jab equates to.
Not me.
Is finding
not for
content
me.
And share.
No.
No. Okay.
No, because sharing content is a right hook to me. That means you're pushing something out.
Okay.
So you're still thinking in that way, which is okay.
Right.
Step-by-step process. We got the 45 minutes to an hour searching, so I'm already pumped, to be honest. Only 2 weeks, right?
Right.
So good. Now we get to meet again. No. Those are right hooks. When you're pushing, you're throwing a shot. You're looking to create value by distributing something, whether it's for you or other people. I like where you're coming much more with sharing somebody else's than yours. However, what I'm looking for is for you to just create an actual relationship with somebody. If somebody's talking about something you're doing, for you to just jump in, like you would here in a cocktail party, and just say, yeah, I heard the same thing. Like, isn't that nuts? That matters more. It makes you so much more human. I've never automated a single tweet in my life. Every tweet, all 60,000 of them that you've seen from me, I've done by my hands, with my thumbs, no other person, never scheduled, nothing. No auto DM, no auto reply, no auto shit. Auto's for everything else. We're humans. This is the most human time in business. Stop doing, I promise you, anything that you do. Let me ask you a question. Any of you that have had something happen automated to you, you know it.
Yeah.
Remember when you got emails, when email got smarter, and all of a sudden your name was like in a different font, they started using your name or in a different color, and you knew what they were doing. They just figured something out to get your name in it, but it looked different than the rest of the body of the email. Did that feel good? It felt like shit. It didn't feel good. You knew they weren't talking to you. You were part of a list. So I like where you're going. You're definitely, listen, if you're just pushing and now you're retweeting others, you're halfway home, right? You're definitely doing something better. But for me, I think you need to go out. You're still in talking mode when you're doing that. When you're responding to somebody else, you're in listening mode. And that's, you need to start working on both ears versus the one mouth. There's more of them. There's two. It's a 2-to-1 game for a reason. Go that route.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, bro. What's your name?
John.
John, pleasure.
Pleasure is mine.
Thanks, man.
If you were to start right now, knowing, seeing what you see right now where we're going,
mm-hmm.
what platforms would you be engaging on?
Facebook and Twitter to me are 100% complete and utter no-brainer. Then it starts getting a little more interesting based on what you're actually selling and what your KPIs are. What are the things you're trying to accomplish? To me, there's very, very vibrant waters in Tumblr, in Instagram, in Pinterest. But those are all very content heavy. All that jabbing I've been talking to you about, not as easy to do there. You can though, you can be part of the community and be that middle jab that you're doing on Twitter with retweeting. On Pinterest, it is pinning other people's stuff. On Tumblr, it is reblogging and hearting other people's. Twitter is so special. Twitter is lost out of their mind. I'm so pissed at Twitter that they don't understand how special they are. They keep trying to be like everybody else when they have something that nobody else can touch. You can't jump into a conversation on Facebook. You're a creeper if you do that. You know, it's so special. So just keep in mind that those other places are places where it's more content heavy. You have to have quality content or you're just gonna lose. But I'm very hot on those. I'm really hot on a new platform called Rebel Mouse. Rebel Mouse takes all your social channels and gives you like a domain. It gives you like your homepage that's an aggregator of everything you're doing on the other platforms. If you like, a lot of you are in front of computers right now. If you go to rebelmouse.com/GaryVee, GaryVee, you'll see what it does. I didn't do much. This just understood what I'm doing. It's created by the former CTO of Huffington Post. And it's all very analytical. It's a dashboard. You can move your stuff around. You can edit it. It gives you analytics. To me, it's got the potential to be a future homepage for all of us. I think if you guys look at it in front of your computer, you'll see how intuitive it is. I'm hot on that. But, you know, YouTube still matters. Social cam is interesting to me. It's a very vibrant video play. Younger demo, so are you trying to reach that? So those are the ones that come to mind for me right now. Yeah. And listen, oh, by the way, the entire world is going mobile. And how these platforms tell their story on mobile versus laptop is different. So all of a sudden, most of the content I'm thinking about mobile. There's an awesome video I have right now from Entrepreneur Magazine. I love it, but it's Flash. And half the people aren't seeing it when I tweet it out because like it doesn't work on my iPhone, right? So like, not only did I tell you have to think about different content for different places, you can't use the same thing across all of them, right? Maybe for Tumblr, you turn your video into 3 animated GIFs. Maybe you take a picture of your video for like Instagram or stuff like that. You've got to understand the platform, but on top of that, you have to start thinking mobile. Listen, it's a lot, but marketing got hard. Sorry.
Hi.
What's your name?
Sandy.
Sandy, it's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Where do you see web television, you know, web shows like the one you have going? Where, the future of web, you know, TV on the web?
I think if you're good, you win. I think if I start Wine Library TV today, as the same person I was then, then I would win because the content was great. As a matter of fact, I'd win quicker. You know, there's so many ways to distribute content now. I mean, back then, like, the thought of watching a 30-minute YouTube video in 2006 was insane. When they wire us completely, and our internet and cable is much cheaper through Google than the networks, and when we turn on our TV, or, you know, it's a Google homepage, and it can be any content, I type in Jets, and so not only do I just get the Jets SNY like I do in New York, but I would get a Jets TV show that's done on the internet. We're all going to be equal, because the platform, just like what the internet did to the world, that whole phenomenon and music and all that, this wiring is going to take the power out of the cable companies, and it's going to make all video content equal, whether you're on NBC or whether you're me in a New Jersey office. Whoever's going to make the best and care the most and does the best job and scales and has markets and understands, they're going to win. And it's not going to have to sign a deal and get lucky that a talent agent thinks. If I would have rolled in to LA in 2006 and said, here's the pitch. I'm going to sit in front of a camera for 26 minutes. It's going to be low res, no editing, and I'm going to sit with four bottles of wine in front of me, and I'm just going to spiel, and that's my show? I would have got kicked out of town. But because I didn't have to do that, and I just did it to the consumer, they decided. The gatekeepers, the key holders, they're dead. We're all going direct. The new key holder is the internet. It's going to keep doing its thing. It got us social. It's going to eat up television. It's just a matter of time. You can only hold on. This thing is overthrowing governments from dictators that have controlled their people for 40 years. You think this isn't going to kill the cable companies? It will.
Hi, I am not...
What's your name?
My name is Sonia.
Sonia?
I am probably in the wrong place. I am not involved in this as a business.
Okay.
I'm an accountant.
Okay.
How does a landscaper down in Sarasota... I mean, how do they market themselves with this stuff when they don't have the budget to hire someone like him? And I'm just getting questions. I mean, I'm here because they're like, we want to have a Facebook page, and, you know, I don't know how to do it. I mean, what do they do? I mean, real basic.
Yeah.
I mean, like a mom and pop business.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to get the local people. What's the best thing for them to do?
So let's go real black and white. First thing you tell them to do is look at their email signature and make sure that once they have a Facebook and Twitter account, that it's in their header, that it's in there. So many people looking for, like, getting users, that's one way. You're emailing left and right all day. Most of them are, even a landscaper down there, right? Make sure that their Facebook and Twitter, they'll get some serendipity of some people following them, right? They don't have to, I didn't hire anybody. I never worked with an agency in my life. I spent from zero to millions of dollars in ads. I did it myself in, like, marketing and media. The game, I think twitter.com/search is the number one thing a small business can do because it has direct results immediately without having to know or do anything. But to do that, they need to set up a Twitter account. They need to not have just an egg there. Make sure they put a nice photo in their bio.
I have an egg.
I know you have an egg. But that's okay.
I just got it today.
And that's why you have an egg. So you want. You gotta put a nice little picture there. Your bio needs to link to your homepage, which is where you're probably storytelling, soon to probably be Rebel Mouse. Yes, I'm trying to invest in it. So they can do that and they can start searching people and start having conversations. Somebody is saying the word lawn in their general area. They can search locally on Twitter by using near colon in their zip code. And somebody's saying the word lawn, and all they can jump in and say, and here's where they can't act like a 19-year-old dude. This is where you gotta fight them. They're gonna want to because it's the first time they saw somebody say, my lawn looks like shit on Twitter, and they're gonna wanna come in and be like, I can fix that. That is where they have to stay disciplined. That's where they need to be bigger than what they are. Let me say it again, because this is actually a big thing for all of you. This is where they have to be bigger than who they were. The reason I over-indexed it was I didn't wanna sell another bottle of Cabernet. I wanted to become America's wine guy. That's why. And so when I saw somebody say, what Pinot Grigio should I drink? I didn't link it to Wine Library and give them free shipping. I just told them. With the hope that when they saw that, they'd be like, who's this guy? Look at my bio, link to Wine Library TV, watch a video, create context even more, links to Wine Library, the products, and away we go. Three steps, patience. So, twitter.com, Facebook is absolutely a must. They gotta create a Facebook fan page, a business profile page, and they need to start creating content. We all do. Your landscaper has a phone. He does a nice job at the lawn. He asks Mrs. Thompson if he can take a picture of that. He takes it, and then he has to bring value. A picture is nice, but him saying, it's August in Florida, this time of year you need to water your lawn 3 times a day, not 2. If you bring value, you win. That piece of content with the picture has a chance that one person will share it. He's got 6 friggin' fans. Because everybody's worried about how many. It doesn't matter how many. He has 6 fans because he put it on his email and 6 people followed him. It sure feels like a waste of time, but it's not. Because you're one piece of content away from going somewhere. Right? He takes a picture, he gives a good piece of advice, 2 of them share it, their friends see it, because we now look at dumb shit that we all say to each other on Facebook. They're like, I need a landscaper. They go back and they get business. That is black and white, practical. That's what they should do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God, I love practical. Right? Because it's real, right? It's not like, oh, get 1,000,000,000 Twitter followers and everything's going to be awesome. It's not. There's pages on the internet that have 10 million fans on Facebook and getting no traction with their content because they're just spamming them with stuff nobody wants. 10 million. Looked at a page the other day, 10 million. They're getting like 3 shares. AJ and I are fortunate enough to manage Campbell's Soup. We have a piece of content, they have 180,000 fans on their page. We had a piece of content get 43,000 shares. That's absurd. You know, you got pages, you know how many shares you're getting. 1, 0. Right? If you're not bringing value, you can know how well you're doing real quick. Go to your Facebook fan page, see how many fans you have, and figure out your user engagement number. If they're not engaging with your content, it's a waste of time.
You mean they're talking about this?
Yeah, and then there's engagement. The people talking about PTA number is people that hit like, comment, and share. Virality is if they actually watch the video as well, or click a picture, it's an action. Or, you know, so click the date, any movement. Next.
Hi, my name is Christer Edman, and I wonder, you mentioned something about that we are repeating over and over the same thing from the start until 2003. What is your suggestion for changing this to come up with something?
So, from the beginning to 2003, the content thing?
Yeah.
So that was the amount of movies, stories, videos, words, everything we produced, content.
Yes.
We're just producing what we did in volume then. Now, every 48 hours. They're different things. They're a different song than was written back then. But the volume of information is so high now because all of us are creating it. We're now all creating stuff every day. Every tweet that you're doing now, you weren't writing that many letters every day. So it's a volume thing. So I'm not worried about doing something different. I'm worried about the one thing I care about for sparing business, supply and demand. We're making so many more pieces of information, but there's not that many more of us. So every piece of information is now less valuable. You know, there'll never be a TV show that does as well as MASH. Because back in the day, everybody watched TV, and that was the hit show, and it was supply and demand. Now the best shows, you've got your computer and your laptop and video games and all this and your phone. So it's a supply and demand. What I'm saying is your content has to be better. Every show has to be better, every email has to be better, every picture has to be better. You have to be better.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
We've got time for about 2 more questions.
That's it?
Hi, it's Michelle.
Michelle, I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, so here's my question. We hear so much about social, I've been hearing so much about social, and now we're really moving into mobile, which you touched base on that.
They're talking but they're not competitive.
No. So my question is this. Where do you see the biggest, next biggest thing in mobile, and where should we be looking in the mobile space?
So that's where it gets really tricky. Social is platform to reach consumers. Yes. Mobile is just a device that helps us tell that. Now, apps are important, you know, very, very important. People have clearly gravitated to an app culture. They're open to buying apps, which is really fun. You know, I used to say over and over in places like this, content is free. Content's a commodity, it's harder to charge, no more ebooks and all this other crap. Apps have reopened that opportunity just because people like buying them. So like that is an interesting thing to think about. But for me, you know, mobile, where the opportunities really are, is impacting our real lives with the things that we actually do. Because a mobile phone is on you at all times, there's things you can do. The things I could do and would do if Wine Library TV started today on mobile to help you shop for wine, where you'd come into a store. Like, that's the stuff I'm thinking about. What does something that's on you at all times, what does that do? I've spoke mostly about content and information. Mm-hmm. Think of this more as utility. So what can you do that you do that brings value to people? That's what mobile has a really big opportunity to over-index on, because it's always on somebody. But I don't think there's, I think a lot of people blend mobile and social as a competitive force with different things. Mobile is the hardware, but it has its own unique screen. I mean, people freaked out when they could only have a computer screen or, you know, tell your movie story because they were used to television. That seemed too small, right? Now we're here. We can do it all here. And so when you're thinking, what I think you should most worry about is if you're telling stories or putting out content or ads or whatever you're telling, when you start making accounting content and you're putting it out there, make sure that you don't use flash video, because half of the people with iPhones, more, won't see it. So it's about the utility and the execution. You know, when you design a website, it's got to be mobile friendly, because when people go on it, and so that's what I'm talking about.
Change the rules. I get one quick question. We had someone waiting recently over here. So jab, 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 right hook.
Yeah.
Right hook is when the money comes.
Yeah.
When's it right hook time? How do you know?
That comes, and honestly, like, that's probably going to be the most fun for me to write about, right? So I think the right hook comes in different times. Mike Tyson's right hook shirt came out early. He was able to put out people quickly. I think it depends on the boxer. As a matter of fact, guess what? This is my favorite part. I'm going to use this analogy in a book. There's been a couple of major knockouts just from a jab. It's been stunning when it's happened, but it happens. So all those dynamics come into play. It comes down to your business. How many jabs have you hit? When do they wear down? Usually around the 7th and 8th round, right? Depending on how much you work the body. I think it's different for all of our business. I will tell you this. The quality of your product is basically the power of your right hook. If your product's legit, awesome, needed, solving a problem, you're doing something. It's going to work, right? So I think the right hook time is different for everybody. I can tell you rarely is it in the first couple of rounds. And very honestly, I'm going to have to be careful when I write this book, because I think it'll do well, and I'm very confident and all that. And I want to make sure that I don't give people, even the Mike Tyson analogy I might not use, because everybody here, I'm telling you, I looked, and I'm talking about everybody in the world. Everybody's throwing right hooks in the first round. The patience in this world to convert doesn't exist. Just doesn't exist.
Okay. I apologize. I know we could talk all day. What a round of applause for Gary.
Thank you guys so much. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Everyone Needs to Listen by Soraya. I'm in a place where I need to listen to Gary and really think about what he says. His messages are laced with cuss words, but they are definitely thought-provoking. Thanks, Soraya. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.